quote. Herbring Canton just wrote a note on conjugal gradients, because if you read all mathematical textbooks, they now present the answer without giving you a good reason as to why it's the answer. So the purpose of my discussion here and Herbring's note is to try to give you more intuition as to why the, what the answer is trying to do. So what is the basic idea of conjugal gradients? So the basic idea is, well, the normal steepest ascent gets stuck here. So obviously, it's obvious what I ought to do. I ought to just go in perpendicular direction. So what's perpendicular? That's what the word conjugant means. So the idea of the conjugal gradient is, well, we have a nifty first guess. If I apply that first guess on an ongoing fashion, I get nowhere because I keep refining in the same direction, which is a bad idea. I do not wish to make R1 better and better because it's already perfect. So what I do is I just insist that the second move is perpendicular to R1, and therefore it will get rid of R2, roughly. And then the third one I make perpendicular to R1 and R2, and it gets rid of R3. So this shows you, this then suggests that with conjugal gradient, I can find a method that rigorously converges in n steps, because if I choose n orthogonal vectors, I've done each direction, and at each step it's going to make a lot of progress, because what it's doing, it's done the convergence, if you like, in one subspace, the most rapidly varying. It then goes to the conjugate subspace, goes to the steepest ascent in that conjugate subspace, which it does very well at, and then it goes, then it just eliminates that one as having done it great well, and keeps on going on. And so it effectively, so in this method, in this two-dimensional world, it does it in two steps. It goes down here, and then the minimum in this valley where we see the valley. I've drawn it. The reason I've got this ball with a very sharp direction, a very shallow direction. This is a large eigenvalue. The shallow direction is a small eigenvalue. And it's meant to illustrate that the problem is I do the large eigenvalue well, I do very badly in the small eigenvalue. That's what this analysis said. But the conjugal gradient carefully chooses a step which is orthogonal or conjugant to the large eigenvalue direction, and therefore it does get corrected the small eigenvalue, because you see the difficulty is that the large eigenvalues contaminate the small eigenvalues. If I could just delete those rows and columns of the matrix corresponding to the large eigenvalues, everything is perfect. So that's effectively what the method is doing. Now, it's not quite doing that, and it's certainly not explicitly doing it, because we can't find eigenvalues and eigenvectors, because that's too expensive. Historically, the reason I tend to explain it this way, when I was, your age or maybe a little bit older, I spent most of my time fitting various theoretical formulae to various pieces of experimental data. And the method I actually used mostly was to take these formulae like these and actually find the eigenvalues and eigenvectors and do the optimization by precisely this method of moving along the large eigenvalues separately from the small eigenvalues. I could do that in the case of optimization, because in optimization, the formulae for the matrix elements is extremely complicated, and solving the matrix took me negligible time, so I could afford to find eigenvalues and eigenvectors. However, in a typical PDE or the finite element method, forming the matrix is sort of trivial. It's just adding a few numbers together, and so I have to have an extremely fast solver to go along with that. And so in other applications, you can find eigenvalues, and I believe that that's actually a very effective way of solving it. Where your matrix where you're finding your matrix is very expensive, then you can use this method, and that's what I found quite effective.